hope that this morning you have found or grasped again for many of you a sense of some parts of the worship for our pilgrim forebears nearly 400 years ago. But our tie to their story is more than one of feasting. It's even one more than just giving thanks. Our tie to these pilgrims is in finding the faith to give thanks, even in times of trouble and times of hardship. Now, Thanksgiving is one of those holidays that can bring up all sorts of strange and wonderful memories. I remember a year I spent at a friend's house where our host made oyster stuffing, and it was supposed to be a delicacy, but we all felt sick after dinner. Do you remember the first year you sat down at the table after your grandmother passed away? For the first time you sat at the table and suddenly it seemed your own children were asking to be excused to go outside and play. Or the time when the top flew off the blender and the gravy went all over the kitchen. Or the time the dog ate the pumpkin pie and then illustrated what the phrase, sick as a dog, really means. Thanksgiving is one of those holidays that can really bring out the best of us and the worst of us. This year, as we prayed for the leaders and the peacekeepers around the world, our prayers will go up for reconciliation and justice in a time of war. There are times we sit down and we listen to the nightly news and it feels as if there just isn't that much to be thankful for this year. So many still suffering from the effects of the hurricane. So many people with an empty chair this year for the first time. We feel threatened by terrorism and the war in lands that are far away from here. Our freedom is cramped as with the security lines in the airport seem to be endless. There are shootings happening in our own backyards. We seem to be fighting an enemy we don't understand and can't comprehend. Our bubble of self-contentment and isolation seems to have burst. But if we jumped all the way back to that first Thanksgiving out there near Plymouth Rock, 4 centuries ago, we might find ourselves with much in common with the first celebrants of this day. They were pretty exhausted and lonely folk, people who had barely made it through the winter, people who were in desperate need of a halfway decent harvest if they were to survive at all. Some didn't know what they were even doing in this country. There was a desire among them to return to a time and a place where there was a safety in life. And in this land, they had no real security. As they gathered together on the first Thanksgiving, it was to give thanks for having made it through a very difficult season. Nearly half of their number had died. They did this without much assurance that the road ahead would be any easier for them. Folks gathered for 3 days to observe a respite from their grief and their struggle, as well as to give thanks for the bountiful harvest. About 90 American Indians showed up for dinner. They brought 5 slaughtered deers to add to the feasting. When I think back about that and reflect upon our modern times, I think that there is something perverse about our feeling that it's only in good times that we can be joyful and be thankful. For too long, Americans have suffered from a sense of deserving it rather than being grateful. We've not viewed our high standard of living as good fortune, but rather as just desserts for our own ingenuity and work ethic. We tend in the midst of our bounty to not to see all that we've been blessed with as a gift, but we see it as our entitlement. We are, after all, the most privileged nation and people on earth. We're a nation which has grown from the days those first Americans sat down together to give thanks for simply making a harvest. We've grown into a nation whose harvest of wealth and privilege is the most abundant on earth. Every year, the United Nations monitors human development with a suffering index. And on the World Suffering Index, which registers human rights and education and income and infant mortality rates, the treatment of women and children, ours is among those nations who are most privileged to suffer the least. We are among those in the world who suffer the least, and yet we don't seem to be among the most grateful. When we fall on hard times, we resent our cup being half empty. We forget that in terms of our share of the world's goods, it's 9/10 full. Maybe this is the time to think about what it means to have a grateful heart. For more than anything else, our gratitude tells us whether or not we are aware of the gift this life is. It's our gratitude that measures our awareness of the fullness of life. Not the Dow or the war in Afghanistan or whether your candidate won. Of course, we would like to eliminate our own suffering. It would be wonderful if we didn't have to suffer. It would be nice if all of us could enjoy the lifestyles of the rich and famous, strawberry fields forever. In Buddhism, there is a wheel of life that pictures the various conditions and stations of the human soul. And there's a place on the wheel where people live like demigods without pain or without suffering. The most favorable place is to be born in the human realm, because it's only where there is suffering that we can develop wisdom and compassion. And those are the things that are at the heart of gratefulness. So it is with the life of the Christian. Jesus went before us on that awful road to Calvary. He didn't go instead of us. Theologian and mystic Howard Thurman said that when the pain of life is not relieved, it's then that we find our faith in God. The point is to be grateful for the world as it is. William Sloane Coffin sums up this attitude succinctly. He writes, "You say you're disillusioned. What gave you the right to your illusions in the first place? The opposite of gratitude is entitlement or resentment. Our gratitude measures our aliveness. Our resentments measure our anger and our bitterness and our ill will and our small spirits. On this Thanksgiving Day, a day we share with family and with friends, the question is, how can gratitude take form and make its way in the midst of human suffering? How can it break through our false sense of security and entitlement into a new freedom, a real freedom in living? I think the first thing we have to do is to learn the art of counting our blessings. We're guests on this earth, not permanent residents. We must learn to thank our host for the amazing fact of existence, for the chance to live a human life, for the breath that fills our lungs, and for the unique shape and size of our bodies. For our loved ones and our family and our circle of friends. For the worthiness of work and for the blessings of retirement. For the excitement of youth and the challenge of middle age and the bravado of old age. Next, we need to remember everything and everyone that has brought us to this moment and contributed to our lives as they are. Our parents alive or departed from us. This beautiful land from California to the New York Island. This church, an uncommon community of hope. Remember your teachers, your spiritual guides, your wise counselors, your friends, even your strangers and your enemies. Remember everything and everyone who has brought you to this day. All those who have brought you to this moment in your life. And finally, we must learn to rejoice. Just as we're called to share in the suffering of the world, we're also called to rejoice with one another. The Hasidic teacher, Rabbi Nachman, writes this. He says, gratitude rejoices with her sister joy and is always ready to light a candle and have a party. Gratitude doesn't much like the old cronies of boredom and despair. Taking life for granted. Learn to share in the joys of the world, in art and music and poetry and jokes and laughter and stories and dance. And the old adage, laugh and the world will laugh with you. To practice gratitude is to live with a grateful and, yes, a joyful heart. G.K. Chesterton suggests that we take things with gratitude instead of taking things for granted. Gratitude becomes a spiritual exercise, a state of being rather than an occasional statement of appreciation or thanks. There was one medieval mystic that summarized it all, and he said, if the only prayer we say in our lifetime is thank you, that would suffice. What will you do with your one wild and precious life? Life is hard. Be grateful. Let your life be a joyful noise of thanksgiving unto God. This year, feast at the table of gratitude for all that has been given you. The good, the bad, the awful, the powerful. Be grateful. And serve God with gladness. Come into God's presence with a song. A song which is your very life. Amen.